Nicole, my coffee is cold. What's up? What's going on? Why is my coffee cold? This is unacceptable. Bobby, get Bobby for me. Bobby, my coffee is cold. No, this is not acceptable, Bobby. I don't care. I don't care if it's iced coffee. That's not the point. And by the way, Bobby, there's a stain on my pants again. What's with that? How did that get there? And Bobby, it's a little too warm in the studio today. Beads of sweat are starting to fall. And Bobby, my hair is uncombed a little bit. See this hair over here? It keeps slipping down into my eyebrow. That's unacceptable. It's unacceptable. What do I hire you for? And Bobby, I where's my pencil? I can't write anything down without a pencil. And Bobby.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Bobby.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird. If you like that sort of thing.
Bobby.
Whatever.
Good morning, Nicole.
Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. Good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
What, you don't say good morning, Bobby? What's up with you, Bobby? Bobby.
Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you very much. Welcome to the program, ladies and gentlemen. It's a pleasure to have you here today and all that kind of stuff. All that same type of verbiage. Well, I hope you're doing well today. I always hope the best for you. Hope you can find another job, Bobby. I've always wanted to have a job. I've always wanted to be a diva. I'm not a diva in that sense, but I always wanted people. I wanted people to yell at. I always thought that was so cool when I was growing up. My parents yelled at each other, and I thought that is so cool. Look at that; they're getting along. I want somebody to yell at, you know, but I don't have anybody to yell at. I've always wanted to get a phone call from somebody saying, let's do lunch today. I don't know what it means to do a lunch. We can eat a lunch. To do a lunch, I don't understand what that means. But I've always wanted somebody to call and say, Ron, let's do lunch next Thursday. And I've always wanted my response to be, well, I'll have my people get in touch with your people, but the people can't go. But we'll have you get your negotiating team together, and we'll find a mutual place to actually put food in our mouth and have a conversation. My people will call your people, but we need code words, and it has to be top secret because we're going to have lunch. I can't talk to you. My people arrange everything. I have people, and I use my people for that reason. I use people to bow to me, to take care of my every whim and need. Those are my people. That's what my people do. My people surround me, and they protect me. Those are my people. Now, I know you have people, too, and your people do what my people do for me, they do for you. So I cannot further talk to you. I do not have the ability to make an appointment to have lunch with you. I don't know how to do that. I don't know what's involved. My people do this all the time. They're always setting up meetings for lunch and things like that, you know, places where people actually sit and eat. I don't know how to do that. I don't. How do you do that? Do you? You got to come up with a place, and then my God, it's got to be a certain time that's amenable to the both of us. I don't want to travel any more than you have to travel, and vice versa. I can't set that all up. Then someone's got to call the restaurant and make a reservation, because I can't just wait 20 minutes. I can't go up to the host person and say, I'd like a table. Well, that'll be a 20-minute wait. I don't have 20 minutes. That's what I have people for. So the arrangements have to be made, transportation to the restaurant. It's just too much. I don't know if I can even squeeze this in next Thursday. I don't know what I have planned. I think I have to go to the bathroom around that time. I don't know. I don't know what I don't know what I'm doing next Thursday. I have no idea. I know I'm a human being who's totally in control of my life, but I don't know what I'm doing next Thursday. There could be a golf game. Maybe I have to get my lips pressed. I don't know. I think I need that my pedicure is, I think, next Thursday, but I don't know what time. How would I know? I didn't set it up. My people did. I can't do this. Stop putting so much pressure on me to eat lunch with you next Thursday. I don't know. The fast answer is I cannot commit. If once I commit, I would have to change it, and that would take my people again. Because I just don't know what's. I don't have. Do I look like a calendar? Do I look like a calendar? Is the month the name of the month printed on my forehead with little numbers on my chest representing the various days? Do I look like a calendar to you? No, I'm not a calendar. I'm a person. I'm a person who has people. So don't ask me if I can have lunch with you next, because I don't know. How would I know something like, how could I possibly know something like that? What am I, a god, a deity? Do you think I'm omniscient? Do you think I know what I'm doing next Thursday? I don't know what I did last night. I have to ask my people what I did last night. They wrote it down. I don't know. I'm so busy. I've got so much going on. I've got to get up and walk over here and then there. I don't know if I have time to have lunch with you next. And what would we eat? What's on the menu? Maybe I'm intolerant. I'm intolerant of glucose and nuts. Maybe I can't eat nuts. I don't know. I don't know if I can eat nuts or not. They have to contact my doctor before I make an appointment for lunch. My people have to call my doctor and say, we're representing Mr. Van Dam. Can he have nuts? Does he have nuts? What? We don't know. Can you go through his medical records, send the medical records over to us so we can go through them and discern what type of food Mr. Van Dam should be eating? He can't just eat anything. This guy's got high cholesterol through the roof. This guy can't eat anything. We need to find a place, a mutual location, that has the food that Mr. Van Dam would easily consume without any time. You think he has time for stomach upset and for gas? There's no time for that. This man's a busy man. I don't know what's going on next Thursday. What if he went out to lunch with you and then he developed a gas and then he had a very important appointment with North Korea 2 hours later with Kim Jong-un? He can't have gas. So this is not as simple as you think it is. You can't just sit down and have lunch with Mr. Van Dam. He's got things to do. You don't understand. You don't understand what his day is like and how much stress he is going through. The man's a bundle of nerves. He's the poor man. It's amazing he's even able to exist without his people. So he doesn't exist without his people. That's why he has people. You think the people are cheap? He has to pay these people. They don't do it voluntarily because they like Mr. Van Dam. You know, that's not an option. They do it because they're paid to do it. And they're the highest quality of arrangers that Mr. Van Dam can possibly find. He had to go to so many community colleges to find interns that would do this for nothing. And he couldn't. So he has to pay people for this. So he's got to use them. The complexities of you asking if Mr. Van Dam is available for lunch next Thursday are just beyond. You have no idea. Do you know who he is? Do you even know who Mr. Van Dam is? Whoa, God. The nerve of you asking if he's available for lunch next Thursday. How dare you?
You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show. Don't worry. No one has to know. This is just between you
and me and Ron. We cool?
The nerve of some people. I want to talk today about dreams. Do you have recurring dreams? I'm sorry, nightmares? The most common one is when someone's chasing you and you can't run fast enough to get away from them. They never seem to catch you, but you're running away in slow motion and they're going like in regular speed, and eventually they're going to catch you. And that, I don't know what that means. I think what it means, let me interpret that dream for you. I think what it means is someone's chasing you and you can't get away fast enough because you're in slow motion. I think that's the meaning of that dream. Here's another dream that I have, and I hope you have the same dream, otherwise this would be incredibly embarrassing. I'm in a supermarket, let's say, or a store or something, let's say that, and I'm walking out with all my groceries or all my packages, and I'm going to the parking lot to get in my car, and I'm walking down an aisle of the parking lot, and my God, my car isn't there, and it's like, oh, my first reaction is, oh my God, somebody stole my car. Well, who would do something like that? And then it's like, well, maybe my car wasn't stolen. Maybe I parked it somewhere else and I didn't remember where I parked it. So I aimlessly go up and down all the aisles of the parking lot looking for my car, pressing on my little fob, whatever the fuck that is, just to locate my car, but I hear nothing. And then I'm wondering, maybe someone did take my car. Maybe I parked it somewhere else and I just don't remember because I'm so busy. I'm so busy every Thursday. I don't know where my car is. And I wondered for the longest time, what does that mean? What does that dream mean? And then it was explained to me, what it means is you don't know where your car is. I thought, oh my God, that's so symbol. There's a lot of symbols going on. That is so symbol. Or you're waiting for a bus. And you're waiting and you're waiting and you turn your head for a couple of minutes, and while your head is turned, the bus comes and everybody gets on the bus and the bus pulls away, and then you look back toward the street and you see that the bus is pulling away. Oh my God, I missed the bus. Oh my God, I missed the bus. And then you wake up from the dream and you say, what did that mean? What did that mean that I missed the bus? Is that significant? And then I went to a dream expert and I explained this dream. I turned my back for a second and everybody left except for me. And I'm standing there and I turned my back on the bus and now the bus is gone. And there it is pulling away in the distance. And what does that mean, doctor? And the dream specialist, who is a doctor, said, Ron, that's a very common dream. Here's what the dream means. It means that you were waiting for a bus. And while you had your back turned, the bus came and pulled away, and then when you look back, you missed the bus entirely. That's what that means. You're a genius. How did you know that? Well, I've been in the business for a long time interpreting dreams, and that's exactly what that means. Wow, that is so deep. Dream interpretation. When you're a young child, it's amazing how your life is laid out for you when you're a young child, and we don't realize that. And I came to that revelation in a dream. When you're a child, your life is mapped out. Did you know that? Experts didn't tell me. I came up with this myself. When you're a child, do you like to listen to music and you love a certain type of music and you're obsessed with the performers and the songs that were in mind? That's an incredible song. When you're like 5, 6 years old, you just love this particular. What does that mean? It means that you probably want to be a musician. And maybe you should learn how to play an instrument, and maybe someday you can be in a band when you're in high school or something. You can be in a high school band. There are tons of them. They don't have to be popular or make it to the big time. It's just the fact that you were in a band because you liked music and you pursued your interest and your dream and you listened to yourself when you were a child. When you're a child, your life is mapped out for you. Or maybe you love to watch television, but you're very you're looking at the, when you're watching a television show, it's not just the show, it's like like, well, look at the actors, look at behind the scenes and the scenery and the sets there that, you know, and maybe you want to get into television production, you know, this kind of, or maybe you're a child and you're like me, you know, you're walking around and all these people have problems and you say to yourself, wow, it's amazing. Even as a child, I'm noticing all these people who are angry and discontent. Maybe you should be a psychologist. Maybe that's your calling because you have a sensitivity. You've noticed that you have something draws you as in a particular interest towards something. That's what, go back to your childhood and find what you were obsessed with, what really caught your eye, even as a young child. That's what you should be doing in your life. Now, if you can find a job that where you can perform that special interest that you had that was embedded inside of you when you were a child, it's part of your genes, your DNA, your pants, that's what you should pursue. And if you can do it professionally and get paid for it, all the better. But you don't have to. If you exercise it and do it on the side as a quote-unquote hobby or a second job or something like that, then you fulfilled your life as well. But again, I say so many times to the point of ad nauseum, there was something that happened in your childhood that you really hooked on to, but maybe you never pursued it. And maybe you wish you did, but it's never too late. Whether you're 20 or 40 or 60 or 70 or 80, it's never too late. Maybe you love to read. You find books fascinating. Not so much the stories, but the mechanics of the book. Maybe you should write your own book at some point in your life. Maybe that's your calling. Listen to your interest, but don't say to yourself, "Oh, it's too bad I didn't pursue my interest." Do it. Do it on the side. Exercise it. Your life will be so much more fulfilling if you do somehow. Maybe you appreciated art. Your parents used to take you to museums when you were a child, to art museums, and for some reason you really enjoyed that. You really, when you looked at the art, that made you feel very comfortable and very alive. Maybe you should pick up a canvas and some paint and start painting. You might be surprised at your abilities that you never pursued. In other words, follow your dream. Again, it doesn't have to be professionally. If so, all the better, but it doesn't have to be. And it's no point for depression because you didn't end up doing professionally what you found as interesting as a child, because you can always do this. Now, I sound like a real big pain in the ass. Who am I to tell you how to pursue your life? Well, it just so happens I'm not doing anything next Thursday. And perhaps we can have lunch and discuss this. Problem is, I don't know if I'm available next Thursday. I'm going to have to check with my people. I have people. There's a performer, Jeff Lynn, who was the creator of Electric Light Orchestra, which I think is a very fine musical group. And all he wanted to do in his life, even when he was a little boy, was to be a rock musician, to write songs and play his guitar in a band. And he pursued it. He became one of the most prolific bands in musical history, Electric Light Orchestra, ELO. You may be familiar with them, you may not. He wrote a song about this, about how when he was just a young child, all he wanted to do was be a musician. And he did. He pursued his dream. It's what I'm talking about.
When I was a boy, I had a dream. All about the things I'd like to be. Soon as I was in my bed, music played inside my head. When I was a boy, I had a dream. When I was a boy, I learned to play. Far into the night and drift away. Don't wanna work on the milk or the bread. Just wanna play my guitar instead. When I was a boy, I had a dream. Just wanna sing, do you love me, baby? When I was a boy, I had a dream.
Are you the sort of person who feels vicarious excitement at the prospect of a robust discount? Then you need to pay us a visit at Jerome Cherrington's Emporium of Preposterous Values. Each and every day, our standard pricing model is an absolute affront to common retailing practices and could indeed be seen as an indication of mental instability. Consider, if you will, a 24-pack of your favorite coffee pods, if one happens to drink such a thing, a mere $2.99. Is that sensible in the least? No, I tell you, it is not. And what of this? Common t-shirts with witty sayings upon them, suitable for men, women, and children, depending upon how you've raised them, 10 for $6. This is uncanny pricing that quite simply flies in the face of all possible reason, and the only explanation for this behavior on my part is that I am not sane, frankly. Do not take my word for it. Instead, find your way here to Jerome Cherrington's Emporium of Preposterous Values, just off the motorway and beyond the roundabout, where our everyday retailing decisions are simply unnatural.
Good morning, Ron.
Denise H. Rowan is the National Commander of the American Legion. She, as a matter of fact, is the first female National Commander. That's just besides the point.
That's exactly right.
She joins us now. I think we talked to you a little while ago. You were about to do a world tour or overseas tour.
When we talked in the fall, I was getting ready to leave for the Far East.
There you go.
Visiting South Korea, Okinawa, the Philippines. Since then, I've visited 40 states so far, including we went down to Puerto Rico and the Virgin Isles. And this Memorial Day weekend, I'll be over in Europe visiting our troops and our veterans who live over over on that side of the pond, wow, if you should say. Looking forward to that trip also, and to visit the other 10 states that I have to go with. I get to
yeah,
go visit all of them.
And this is all before she's had her coffee, ladies and gentlemen. That's amazing.
Exactly right.
Okay. I know that one of your connections is with the VA healthcare system, which is that's a monumental task.
It is a monumental task, and I've had the privilege of visiting several of the VA healthcare systems, mm-hmm, the hospitals across the nation. When I talk to the staff absolutely love their jobs. They love working with veterans, and you can just feel that connection because, you know, it's a government system, and they don't pay the best.
Yeah.
But the employees there just love taking care of our veterans, and our veterans love the care that they're getting at the VA, yeah, hospitals.
I mean, not to be political right now, and you don't have to respond, but of course there's a political consideration for the head of the VA, which is, the largest bureaucratic organization we have in this country. And, you know, there's a process to see if that person is able to take that on. But, I mean, that's a pivotal position.
It is a huge position. And whoever gets confirmed is our new Secretary of Veterans Affairs. We're hoping that they know they can depend on the American Legion to be there with them and help, that we would be a valuable partner with them and make sure that the VA system is there for our veterans. And, you know, the Secretary of Veterans Affairs, it's not just the VA hospitals they're responsible for. They're responsible for the veterans' benefits,
yes,
the cemeteries, making sure our veterans get jobs and the education they want. And there's just so much. It's such a huge department that they're going to be taking care of.
It's a huge department, huge responsibility, and you want someone in, mm-hmm, that position who at least can tell if a 240-pound man is obese or not. Anyway, let's move on. You are, I know, an advocate for hiring veterans, and that's one of your strengths, and you believe in that very, very deeply, I know.
Exactly, and what we're finding out, too, is, you know, when a veteran gets out, a military person gets out of the military, they have so much training behind them already that it just doesn't make sense for them to have to start back from square one. They've got training. They can come right out of the military and go right to work.
Absolutely.
I mean, what better person to hire than somebody who's used to getting up every single morning at the crack of dawn and doing their job and getting going?
Someone who's disciplined, proud of their job, and is a team member. I mean, those are the qualifications that are baked into you. And that should be what everybody's looking for.
Exactly.
Okay.
We're also recognizing the fact that with our National Guard and Reservists across mm-hmm. the nation, they're getting called up time and time again, and how important it is that their employers, as well as their coworkers, are supportive of our military, the National Guard and Reservists also,
yeah,
because they sort of got themselves into stuff that they weren't expecting with this war going on forever.
Yeah. Memorial Day, where are you going to be?
For Memorial Day, I'll be over in Europe, which I'm really looking forward to. We have a lot of military personnel that are over there, our troops, their families. And we also have American Legion Post over there. The Legion was founded in Paris almost 100 years ago.
Oh, no.
So it'll be the opportunity to visit some battlefields over there as well.
Hmm. Okay. And give me a definition of the American Legion. I think we've all heard of it. We all know somewhat what it is. But what indeed is it?
The Legion itself was founded on four basic pillars that are strong, as strong today as they were almost 100 years ago. Taking care of veterans and their families,
mm-hmm.
national security, which is, in my mind, national security comes down to taking care of our military personnel and making sure that our country is safe. And our other two are children and youth, taking care of our kids, and Americanism, teaching our children as well as adults the responsibilities of being an American.
Yeah.
It's that strong foundation, and people can learn more about the American Legion through our website, which is legion.org.
Well, there you go. I know you tried to join the American Legion a while back. What was that experience like?
Well, 30-some years ago when I went to join the Legion, a recruiter actually came to our house to recruit my husband. Mm-hmm. And when I identified myself as eligible, they sort of took mm-hmm. me in the direction of that I should join the Auxiliary, the mm-hmm. American Legion Auxiliary, which is a fantastic organization.
Mm-hmm. But
but I was eligible. And,
yes.
We moved to a new town a few years later, and mm-hmm. and they welcomed that Legion post there, opened their arms to me and welcomed me in. And
good.
As I went through the chain of command in Wisconsin and became the state commander, I had the opportunity to visit that original post. And when I got there, they had a picture of me up. The picture was up with a sign that said, "She could have been a member of this post. Remember, women are veterans too."
There you go. And here you are today. Great.
Yep.
So to get more information, it's legion.org, am I correct?
Exactly, legion.org.
Perfect. Always a pleasure to speak to you. I'm a fan, and looking forward to speaking to you again in the near future.
Thanks, Ron. I look forward to talking to you again.
Thank you so much. You take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Denise.
Bye.
Well. Interesting stuff. Thank you so much for being with me today, for standing by me, for covering my ass. I do appreciate that. Look, I do this every single weekday, and it's like a work release program for me. So thank you for indulging me. I do appreciate it. I'll be back again tomorrow with another show, and it's going to be incredibly amazing. I'll tell you that right now. So I want you to go through the rest of the day and the evening saying to yourself, Ron's got an incredible show coming up tomorrow. I have a reason to live. For those of you that are depressed and feel that nothing is worth anything anymore, I am giving you a light at the end of the tunnel. Because tomorrow's show is going to be so much different, more different than today's show, because I'm going to use completely different words and talk about different things. And that alone should, oh my God, alone should be enough to inhale this breath of life. Wow. I'm even starting not to believe this. I'm going to be back again tomorrow. I hope you join me then. Until then, I wish you peace. Sweet dreams.